Blog Talk Radio.
And here we are. We are on the radio. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is Kay Thompson Live. I'm going to be joined by or with Eric Payne. And I'm also joined right now. Eric Payne is my son, and he's also the co-host and one of the producers here of the show. I'm also being saved right now with Byron Saunders. I don't have anybody to talk to right now,
well,
Byron.
I love talking with you.
And I love talking to you, too.
Yes,
Eric is going to be calling in very soon.
All
you know,
right.
We're doing a lot of new things that we're going to be announcing very shortly.
I saw that on your my Facebook page.
Yeah.
You're making those announcements. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Well, I'm one of your biggest fans.
Well, I'm one of your biggest fans.
Well, there you have it.
Want to get married?
Yeah.
Had one.
Me too.
No.
I don't think I'll need to that anymore.
That's what I used to tell my partner, because, listen, been there, done that, no.
That's right.
He would say, can we? No. No.
I still believe in the institution. I still believe in love.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm past that.
Yeah,
past.
Right.
You know.
I think you remain friends longer, you know?
I think so.
Have you ever heard of Burris Hammond and Luciano, young singers? One is from Jamaica.
Yeah, I think I've heard of Luciano.
Yeah. You know, I was looking in the paper, and lo and behold, I see that Luciano.
Yes.
I don't even know how old he is. He's going to be on Saturday, April 3rd at 8 p.m. at New Jersey PAX.
Well, all right now.
I interviewed him like 900 years ago when he was a whole lot younger, and me too.
Wait, he hasn't aged. That's the whole deal, you know.
Me either. But, yeah, I'm going to try to get down there to PAX.
That should be a lot of fun.
Him. Yeah, I'm quite sure.
Totally.
Yeah, he was a great singer. I loved it, you know, because I love Jamaican and Caribbean music anyway. Anyway, we have a caller on the line. We're going to be going to the call. Maybe I know who it is. Hello, are you on? You are on.
This is Eric Payne.
Hello, Eric Payne. How are you?
All right, how are you?
I'm here with Byron. This is my...
Hello, Byron.
Well, I'm keeping the seat warm for you. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing okay. Out here on the West Coast, you know, they just experienced their new mayor taking over, Eric Garcetti, for Antonio Villaraigosa. His term has expired, and he's moved on. So Los Angeles has a new mayor.
Well, all right. Are the Los Angelians happy about their new mayor? How did they receive it?
You're asking quite a question.
I know.
I don't know. I just know that this gentleman, Eric Garcetti, who was the son of the former prosecutor, Gil Garcetti.
I remember that name. Yes.
You remember that name?
Oh, yeah.
He was the favorite. It was when I was living out here, it was supposed to be a tight race, between him and I think the city comptroller, which was a woman named Wendy Gruel,
okay.
Who got a lot of support. Both were Democrats, and Eric Garcetti prevailed. So he kind of is part of a lineage, and we'll see. Remains to be seen what kind of mayor he's going to be.
But you're not going to be out there long. I understand you're going to be.
I will be back on the East Coast by the time we do our next show.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah, that's good because we have a lot of stuff going on. You know, for instance, we're talking about voting rights.
Yes,
Byron. That you know what's happening with that.
Yes,
we need to get out on the streets again.
Yes, we do.
And then also, I want to talk about as soon as we, you know, want to talk about what's his name?
Trayvon.
Trayvon.
Trayvon Martin.
Right.
Yeah. What are you thinking about that, Eric? What's your take on that so far?
Well, I haven't had a chance to pay attention to as much as I was last week. But. I just was seeing a playback of some, or just hearing some testimony about people talking about he was a good neighborhood watch, and the professor, they had a guy who, I guess, taught the neighborhood watch people what they're supposed to do. And this was kind of the CNN kind of take on things, because I wasn't able to watch, have access to all the channels I normally watch. And, you know, people said he was a good student in terms of, you know, being a neighborhood watch guy. I think I'm paraphrasing. And then they were saying on CNN, you know, when it's time for the jury to look at it, you know, they have a tendency to probably look at it like, who do you want? A guy who's what are you going to look at? I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing, a guy that was a good student at the neighborhood watch course that he took. I mean, you'd prefer to have that type of person be your neighbor than a criminal. And that's true. mind for me, like, well, if he was such a good student of the Neighborhood Watch course and all this stuff, and then why did he break protocol and follow Trayvon? You know, obviously when he called 911 and the dispatcher told him, we don't need you to follow him, that was clearly protocol. So clearly he wasn't that good of a student, and clearly it goes to his state of mind if he was such a good student as to whether, you know, how he, you know, they're trying to establish state of mind. Well, it goes to his state of mind as to whether he was willing to break protocol because he had a certain bias against individuals that happened to look like Trayvon, you know. So that's a question that it appears that the defense didn't really take the opportunity to ask and to point that out. You know, if this guy's such a good student and he's the type of neighbor you want to, you know, try to establish this train of thought, he's the type of neighbor you want to have. I mean, if he's the Neighborhood Watch guy, then why did this Neighborhood Watch guy, who's such a professional, such a good student, break the protocol and follow the individual? Feel he needed to initiate a confrontation.
My take on this is that he's a wannabe cop. And what he did was finally got the opportunity to shoot his gun at someone. And he finally just got the opportunity to kill someone. And he is a murderer. Self-defense, that's bull. He is an outright murderer.
I mean, whatever, I mean, people's extreme thoughts on it, the very least you can say is that if you hadn't engaged this young man, he would probably still be alive today. If you had listened, been the good student that you claimed to be, and listened to the dispatch person, you would have stopped following him. But when they listened, they played the tape back, and I heard it for a while, that he, when he was online with the 911 or the emergency operator, you can hear clearly he's sounds like he's trying to run to catch up to where Trayvon was. He lost sight of him, and he's trying to run. I mean, you can hear that in the movement of the microphone, you know, the wind, and I guess that was a point where they're saying that can be heard just by someone walking. But just his breath pattern to me when he was talking to the phone and the wind, it sounds like he's moving quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're moving quickly, my argument would be, what are you doing? You're trying to catch up to someone. When you're trying to catch up to someone, and you're closely following, trying to monitor them, you're following them, right? And what other species in the world does that? Would you say it's similar to a lion or a tiger that might be following or closely monitoring a gazelle?
Mm.
And you could say it was stalking and preying upon and hunting, right? So, I mean, I don't know if the prosecution was drawing that conclusion for the people, but certainly, bottom line remains, if he didn't engage Trayvon would have been alive today. If he had stayed in his car, the kid probably would have been alive today.
What do you think, Byron?
I think there are actually two different cases going on here, one in which is about Trayvon and Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
Zimmerman clearly, as you have identified, broke the protocol. He broke not only the protocol, he was given a stand-down directive, and he did not follow that.
Stop following him. Right.
Mm-hmm. Number two, Trayvon has a right to defend himself.
Mm-hmm.
He did not have the gun. And if you are stalking and you are the provocateur the weapon,
mm-hmm.
no matter how you take a look at this,
mm-hmm.
this case will break down to obviously whether the prosecution can put forward a case convincing enough to convict.
Mm-hmm.
That's what their job is to do. Now,
absolutely.
Are they doing a good job? No.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing a good job. And what's really the second case that's under the microscope here is the entire justice system of the state of Florida, from the attorney general's office on down to the prosecuting attorney's office.
And that no one has
gotten. From the standpoint of the stand your ground defense?
Yeah.
And Zimmerman lied about knowing about stand your ground.
Yeah.
He's a liar.
And when he was in class.
He said he was taking the fight, and he's admitted that he didn't know anything about it, but he's lying. And the proof of the lying has to paint a picture of an individual, Zimmerman's case, of a liar, a stalker, a killer, a murderer.
Exactly.
They
try to establish a line of thought that said that Trayvon attacked him first.
Yeah.
And he got the jump on him Well, that's what he's supposed to do. If he feels he's in danger and someone is stalking him, they tell you first to protect yourself. If you have to, then you're supposed to strike first.
Right.
And that's now, what, you know, I mean, he didn't know why this guy was stalking him, but he was able to get the jump on the guy. And therein lies this discrepancy comes out. Zimmerman initiated contact with him, initiated a confrontation clearly with Trayvon because, you know, we all agree if he hadn't been following him or pursuing him or keeping an eye on him, he would have never died. And then I guess the case from my perspective where people try to take it from that point is, okay, once that confrontation was initiated, I guess what they're trying to ask people to say is that does George Zimmerman then have a right to defend himself once contact is initiated? That's the only way I could see that they're trying to go, even though he initiated contact, he wasn't life-threatening to Trayvon Martin, so therefore he could fall under stand your ground, I guess, defense. I don't know, but it seems like there's many holes where the prosecution could jump all in it, to me.
Well, and then the other side of this, the federal government is going to have to engage the Justice Department to take a very close look at the justice system in the state of Florida. It has been compromised. They tampered with the evidence of the scene of the crime. They constructed an obvious defense from his own father, who was a previous judge. They did things in this case that just perverted the entire justice system.
I'm telling you. And all that is coming out.
That's coming out.
And everybody knows about Florida and the stand your ground law, legislation, if it is. You know, it's awful. No, he's a murderer, period.
My greatest fear, though, is that we are a kettle boiling and just waiting explode.
Thank you. And I'm telling you, it should happen. If he is not found guilty of killing this young man, of stalking him and killing him, then, you know, you think people were getting out in the streets before?
There's an article already been printed where the police chief, who's black, and the prosecutor's office has...
Getting ready for the anticipation
of disturbances. They've already sat down with some preachers and some of the ministers who are in the courtroom at the case. It has been stated that they've reached out to them to try to make sure that they are on point if anything should happen after the verdict has been rendered.
It's going to be very interesting.
Well, at the very least, it's my belief that he is guilty of manslaughter at the very least. He seemed to be the catalyst which caused the death of this young man. So, therefore, he is culpable.
First-degree murder is on the table because, Eric, the first-degree murder charge should be on the table because once being told by the police department as a command from the 911 who is representing the police department to stand down and not follow, he broke the protocol, and at that point, it's premeditated.
Exactly. Now,
that's a given. That's something we all know and agree upon, but the fact remains that that appears not to have been the charge, or they appear to try to do whatever they could, not to even charge him, you know. I mean, it was 40 days before they decided to charge him at all. So that's why I'm saying at the very least he seems to be culpable of manslaughter, of causing the death of another individual by his actions.
We are joined with another caller, Eric and Byron. Stay right where you are, okay?
Sure.
And I think this, let's go to the call and see who this is. I think this might be Junius Williams, attorney and activist from Newark, New Jersey.
Yes, it is.
Yes, hello, Junius. How are you?
Hi, Kay. How are you doing? Hello to your guest.
Yes.
Hello.
Byron Saunders, who has the BC
experience
prior to my show. And then also my son, Eric, who you know. Eric is on the line.
Hello, Mr. Williams.
How are you, Eric?
All right there.
We're talking about Trayvon right now. Junius, and I know you have some comments about that also. Why don't you go right ahead? I maintain he's a murderer, by the way.
Beg your pardon?
I said I maintain he's a murderer. That's my personal feeling.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so, too.
I'm not Trayvon.
Zimmerman, yes. I think anybody who is about justice believes that. But the question is, have the prosecutors really put together a case that will convince a jury. I haven't been watching all of it, but I have been reading some things that have been said about some of the tactics. First of all, I don't know about the experience of this prosecutor.
I forgot to mention, Junius, that you are an attorney.
I am an attorney, and I used to practice criminal law. I don't practice criminal law now. It's been a long time. But I listened to him, and other than that forceful opening statement, I heard one of the commentators who's a practicing criminal lawyer said that the host asked, well, if you had to have this particular defense attorney, the one that Zimmerman has, would you want to go to court with him? And her response was, I'd like to go to court with that prosecutor because that prosecutor is not doing all that should be done, in her opinion, to make sure that he's found guilty.
Wow.
So the real, I heard one of your guests say that when the police heard him call in, they told him to stand down. I think even more basic, and that's true. But then, what did he do? He went about. Did he go about from that point to shoot, or did he go and get in a fight? One of the witnesses was very convincing in saying that there was a fight, and that at one point, Trayvon had Zimmerman on the ground. So then the question becomes, if you stalk somebody and you have this confrontation and you get in a fight with them and they beat you, have the right to shoot him and claim self-defense? That's really what is a question of fact and a question of law. So
right.
At this point, I think the jury is still out. I don't think even the jury has gone in on everything that has to be seen.
Eric? Hello? Is Eric still there? We have to go for a break, by the way. Okay, we lost Eric. But we could stay with us, Junius Williams. I know you're calling from, are you calling from Newark?
Yes.
Okay, all right. You're also affiliated with Rutgers University. We'll go into that later. Byron, you're going to be staying with us, with you, Will, all right?
With you, yeah.
And we're waiting for Eric to call us back. In the meantime, we're taking a break, everyone. Stay with us. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is Kay Thompson Live. Be right back.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Hi, I'm Nina Markow. I'll be ringing up your purchase today. My associate Shauna Glover will bag your item.
Hey there.
Hey, nice to meet both of you. Let's see, pork rinds, grape soda, genetically modified strawberries.
Yeah.
No me gusta.
Oh.
Okay, I don't want to offend you or anything, but none of this stuff is good for you.
It can't be that bad. You're practically digging your grave with your teeth.
Yikes. But don't worry, there are healthier choices that are just as delicious. You can try some dried kale instead of potato chips.
Hmm. Or even actual grape juice in the place of the purple liquid cavities.
Right.
Also organic fruit instead of the GMOs.
Hmm. You guys have some good ideas, but how do you know so much about good eating? Sean and I host the brand new talk show, Food Wrap, every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the GoPro Radio Network.
Yeah, it's the brand new radio show that's all about good eating. Nina and I will take you on a delicious journey through the latest trends and traditions in alternative eating from the everyday person's perspective.
Wait a minute, I heard about that show, Food Wrap, on the GoPro Radio Network, right?
Yes, it's the perfect weekly digest for anyone looking to beef up on food facts and share their own discoveries.
All right, that's it. I'm putting all this junk back, and I'm making better choices. And the first choice I'm making is to tune into Food Wrap every week from now on. That's every Saturday at 3 p.m. on the GoPro Radio Network.
At www.goproradio.com.
Where talk never tasted so good.
And we are back, Kay Thompson Live. I'm Kay Thompson, and Eric Payne is probably going to be calling back. I'm with Byron Saunders, my friend, and we are talking about Trayvon Martin case. And Junius Williams is on the phone. He is an attorney and an activist from Newark, and he is also a musician and an actor and a whole lot of other things, Junius. And when we get you in here, you know, we can go into all of this. You've done an awful lot in Newark. You've done an awful lot to change Newark. And I think, you're head of the Abbott Institute, am I right?
Right. It's called the Abbott Leadership Institute. It's housed in the Department of Urban Education at Rutgers Newark.
Rutgers University, downtown Newark.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, I'd like to like people to know that Newark has, is the center for higher education in the state of New Jersey. Am I right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get back to Trayvon. What is it? What are you thinking, Byron?
Well, I'd like to...
My opinion is
yes.
The guy is a murderer.
Yes.
Out and out. I don't need to hear anything else.
In my opinion, you know? It's the same as
I know
we have to have a trial, okay? The trial, yeah. And right now, looking at the prosecution's plan of action, leaves one to be very suspect of whose side they're really on.
Right.
Okay.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one being baffled by that, you know, waiting for
the line of questioning, the follow-up. It's just, I know it's not a Hollywood presentation, okay? Maybe I've seen one too many Law & Order shows.
Yeah.
But it's about common sense.
Mm.
And for which the prosecutor's starting off with a bang-bang situation, and now he's somewhat been muted, and I'm like, can this guy even convict a ham sandwich?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
There was one witness that he put on. Well, it wasn't a witness. It was an interview that Zimmerman and his lawyer gave, Zimmerman doing the talking.
Yeah.
One of the big...
By the way, Eric is back on the line. So Eric is late, but you're back.
Go ahead. I'm listening. Go.
So he put on a clip from a CNN interview, I believe, and it made Zimmerman look like he was a child of God.
Yeah.
Would you have done it again? Well, it was God's will that it happened that way. Now, this is the same as letting the witness take the stand without the ability to cross-examine.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you put somebody on there who can just talk and talk and talk and go unchallenged? The witness, in most self-defense cases, has to get up and convince the jury. He did it with that little clip without even having to take the stand.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. It's baffling to me how he did that, why he did that.
Especially without an objection, not even just to say, I object, and then have, at least have the judge say, you know, I mean, come on. You got to throw up something that allows the jury see your case being given in a positive light, that you have all the goods to convict this person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are anticipating.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's up to the defense to prove the innocence, not the prosecutor's
to
up
help
line.
Them.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even his main investigating officer, when asked, "Did you believe him, Zimmerman?" The guy says, yes,
yeah.
I believe what he said.
I know. Isn't it strange?
So he becomes a hostile witness for the prosecution.
He's a cheerleader for Zimmerman.
And that's why I say the second case has to be a really complete look at, rundown from A to Z, the justice system in the state of Florida. It's been perverted from the beginning. Tampering of evidence, tampering of the witnesses, tampering of the scene of the crime, trying to rearrange the Zimmerman's own defense, the fact that he was out there raising money for his defense, lied about that. I mean, come on now. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that this particular case has been perverted from the beginning.
That has been compromised.
It has totally compromised.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, whatever is going to happen.
A lot of leeway.
Yeah.
Yes.
And whatever is going to happen as a result of it, they will have themselves to blame for this in Florida.
Yes, they will.
Okay, because a lot of young kids are watching this and listening to this, you know, avidly.
Yes.
And
I remember the case in New York. The white man who was riding the subway, and he felt himself endangered, and so he shot.
Yeah.
These black guys, you remember, what was his name? Bernard Goetz. Remember that?
Bernard Goetz.
Bernard
Goetz. And what Florida did, well, see, Bernard Goetz instituted a new concept in the law. I acted not in self-defense, but I felt myself threatened.
Yeah.
Up to that point, you couldn't just feel threatened. You had to have some kind of overt act by the person, but he just felt he was threatened, and he got away with murder. Now, Florida put that in law, which says that you have a right to defend yourself if you feel threatened. So if he gets past the threat part, if he establishes that there was indeed a threat and there was an overwhelming threat and he had to use a gun to save himself from the threat, he's home free. I don't even know if he has to be accountable for the gun. I think he had a permit for the gun.
The whole world is watching. And ultimately, I think some of the recent incidents are compacting and will have major impact on the outcome after the verdict. There's a simmering right now. We've sensed that the justice of the Supreme Court has compromised its own ethics on several different levels. They have shown that their recent decisions are not without political persuasion. And I mean, equality has a new definition these days.
You're that leads us into the
voting rights situation.
So Junius, I know that you are working on that, and I know that you want to have a lot to say, or you had a lot to say about it. You worked with Jesse Jackson years ago about the voting. You worked with Jesse Jackson years ago.
Well, I did represent Jesse. It was a voting question, and we won it on the basis of the Voting Rights Act. In 1988, when Jesse ran in New Jersey and other places for president, he was in the primary. He was running in the primary, and they had Jesse's name at the top, and then they had the names of his delegates at the bottom. Now, unsophisticated voters think that if they're voting for Jesse, they get everything they need to see their man in. But that wasn't the case. You had to do separate things. You had to vote for Jesse, and then you had to go find the delegates down at the bottom. So we said that was unconstitutional, and one of the bases for that I used was the Voting Rights Act. So the judge agreed. And for a while in New Jersey, we had a situation where you didn't have to, in the Democratic primary, it wasn't necessary to take two votes. You could vote for the person, and then you get all of his voting delegates at the convention. So that was a good win.
I think the Supreme Court did us a good favor. They've actually lit the fuse.
Again.
I mean, it's one thing to try and placate the left and the right, the gay and the lesbians. I mean, come on now. It's like this is where we are.
You know, you are so right. Because the fact that the thing is, it really is amusing to me, you know, how dumb some people are.
Right.
You know, because of the fact that, you know, you sort of get into this, oh, well, we have a black president, so, you know, we don't have to try that hard. You give us one little smidge that you're going to be pulling things back or trying some simple nonsense, and what you have done very effectively is to light the fuse again.
That's right.
Because when you say we can't, then black people will show you that, oh, yes, we can, and we're going to come out in droves like never before.
Right. The 50th anniversary of the March on Washington is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's like almost like where were these justices when those people were standing up until 2 a.m. in the morning in Florida waiting to vote? Same in Ohio. And then you're going to punt it and send it back to the states who literally are in disarray and dysfunction themselves, because we got a Tea Party in the southern states where the Voting Rights Act is most affected, can't have been gerrymandering their districts, and will not come back with any legislation relative to protecting the rights of voters other than the voter ID law, which has already been proven that it was a violation of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. So how can these justices make this determination and then Here's the piece that's defying all odds. It's amazing to me as a historian. The Civil War, 750,000 men and women lost their lives fighting for which the Union and the federal government validated its authority over the 50 states. We defeated states' rights issues.
Mm-hmm.
We defeated the slavery issue. We defeated a common sense legislation with respect to the 13th, 14th Amendment of the freedom of the slaves. And yet, here we are in 2013 fighting over the states' rights issue.
Exactly.
And listen, I went to a military academy, and they taught us in military school the one thing you do when you defeat your enemy is you make them bury their flag, because that's the symbol of their defeat of a system that you have overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is you close the books on their government.
We're not defeated, and we're going to take a minute for a break. And then I want Junius to let us know what has to happen now regarding the voting rights legislation. What can people do? What should we do? What about a call to arms? And Eric, let's get you in on this also. We'll be right back, everyone. Kay Thompson on Kay Thompson Live with Byron Saunders, Eric Payne, and Attorney Junius Weems. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
The GoPro Radio Network is proud to present our newest show, Food Wrap, hosted by food enthusiast Nina Markal and Shauna Glover. Together, they will chew the cud, so to speak, and take you on a mouth-watering journey to whet your appetite. They'll spill the beans on the latest food trends, beef up on food facts, and share their own discoveries. They'll also have special guest experts and feature piping hot segments like Strange But Food and Chop It Up. So tune in on Saturday, June 1st at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the premiere of Food Wrap and get your food fix in. Why? Because, well, talk never tasted so good. That's Food Wrap only on the GoPro Radio Network at www.goproradio.com.
Andrew Johnson tried to restore.
Mm-hmm.
We're back.
We are back.
Yes.
Okay, we're back. We're on the air still with Junius Weems, who is an attorney and very important activist in the city of Newark, teaches at Rutgers with the Abbott Institute and so many other things. You've made presentations at the United Nations, number of things, Junius, and I hate to say that, I won't say he's an old activist because he's really not. And my son, Eric Payne, is on the phone calling in from California. I think we might have lost that call again, and he may be calling right back. He's doing some he's on the air again also. And Byron Saunders, who we love to have on Kay Thompson Live, because you come from that historical, perspective, So anyway, so Junius, what now do we do regarding voting rights?
Well, let's look at what the Supreme Court did by a 5-4 margin.
Mm-hmm.
Including Clarence Thomas on the side of those who gutted the Voting Rights Act. They didn't say go back to the states and redo this one. They just said Section 4 is over. Those states that are supposed to report in before you do anything, they don't have to do that anymore, which renders the whole thing null and void. What they did was to say to the United States government that the Justice Department no longer has the authority to look over some of these schemes that were designed to impact negatively on the black vote. For example, gerrymandered districts where your vote doesn't count because they will always be drowned out by the number of whites.
Mm-hmm.
Certain identification procedures, they can bring those back. It's almost the same as if the court said you can go out and institute things like the poll tax. Well, they won't be stupid enough to try the poll tax, but they will try these other things. As a matter of fact, the day of the decision, Texas then instituted a new voter identification law,
yes.
which if the people can afford it, will take 2 or 3 years before they can even get to the Supreme Court to complain to have the Supreme Court rule on it. So what they did was to take away the ability of the federal government to stop some of these things in their track before they can even take effect. So we are in a position now where we have to push the ball up the hill once again. I hear people saying, "Well, that's gonna open folks' eyes, and we're gonna go back to the streets, perhaps." Well, I think we have to educate people. People have to be educated again on this. I'm not so sure that folks are ready, willing, and able to get into the street once again on this issue. And if they are, they're going to have to start now. 50 years since the March on Washington, but it was 1965 when they passed that act, and a lot of people went to jail and a lot of people died for that particular situation. I think there are so many issues ahead of that. We have to feel the impact of that before we get to that point where we realize we have to take whatever kind of action is necessary to redeem our rights. And what the right has been very effective in doing is once they get an opening, they have been able to follow up to solidify those gains and make it kind of impossible, or at least very difficult, to come behind them with some kind of remedial act that we once were able to do. These votes can't take place, if in fact people are denied the right to vote in places like Texas, where you're not only where most of the voters discriminated against would be brown, not black, they would elect so many people on that ballot that it'll be very difficult for us to even hear from anybody down there again.
Right.
So what can be done? What should be done?
What should be done is what I was hinting at. I think that the power is in the hands of the people. We have to first educate people.
Yeah.
We have to educate people. We have to educate young people about what's going on, because young people were the ones who really forced this issue before. SNCC were the people who went into Mississippi in 1960 and registered voters where there were no voters at all. SNCC was the one who raised that issue and brought in white northern liberal students to dramatize the fact that these people would stop at nothing, including killing some of their own, to keep their empires. So we have to expose and flush out these races so that the ordinary people, especially the young people, not just black young, but young all over, understand what's at stake and be willing to take action.
Good Lord.
That's true, and it has to be done on a state-by-state, really a community level. You know, I mean, the right and the conservative right, they've been, like you said, very effective in pushing their agenda, and they started by taking control of state legislatures and passing some of these, just like what Texas was doing with the woman's right to choose just the other day when the assemblywoman or the senator actually had to try and filibuster it. They tried to push it through, and the dramatics, and the bottom line was that the governor, Rick Perry, is going to put it up for a vote again, so... you know, like Junius kind of said, they're going to stop at nothing. And it's questionable whether they're going to play by the rules even, you know, because they've proven that at times they're willing to push the envelope in that regard.
Absolutely.
I have a different take. I have a solution. it's a nonviolent solution, because I believe in nonviolence.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's high time that our Congressional Black Caucus, both in the federal and the wells of Congress and the Senate, we have, because we don't have any Senate, we have them in the Congress, and the Black and Puerto Rican legislative caucuses in the state houses where these are most contentious situations arise. I think it is behooved upon those legislators as a matter of perception. Ask and seek actions of sedition and treason against those members who politicians who have sworn to make our federal government and our state houses dysfunctional.
Is that possible?
I believe it is possible.
I don't think so.
We are citizens, and we're talking about, if nothing else, the perception of the attack. See, I'm a military person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't win by playing defense all the time. You got to start and play some offense somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, you can say, oh, it's an impossibility, but you know what? I'm tired of, like Fannie Lou Hamer said,
yeah.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
And
there's at some point, we need to take an offensive action that says we
exactly.
can't do this.
What do you think?
Well, I agree with that. I think we need to take an offensive action. But look at who you're asking to take that kind of bold step. You're talking about our congressmen who haven't really stood up for very much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's even talk about our elected officials. And I'm not talking about all of them. But by and large, it would take a real act of camaraderie on the part of those folks, and it would take a lot of backbone to stand up and start leading the charge. I think you don't ask the representatives to lead the charge. You ask the people to lead the charge, and then the representatives have to follow.
Right. And as citizens, we can ask them.
Yeah.
Because, if they can bring an athlete into the wells of Congress to talk about steroid use, cheating in athletics, okay?
They can
subpoena them,
yeah.
and they've convicted a couple of them and have ruined their lives, mm-hmm. those who have admitted to using steroids. Why can't we bring into the wells of the Congress those politicians who have defied their, and in essence, they're paid citizens of the United States government. They have a commander-in-chief. They are trying to make President Obama's administration as dysfunctional
as
it possibly
yeah.
can be.
Mm-hmm.
And in military terms, those are acts of sedition and treason, and they're sowing the seeds of anarchy all across this country.
Yes, they are.
That's what is going
That's
on.
Exactly
and if we
right.
don't take the necessary step to stand up and be bold enough to even put it on and make it an act of at least following our Constitution and Declaration of Independence. We have a right to call into action and a right to call these people who are sowing these seeds of anarchy and sedition and treason and make them own up to,
yeah.
are you doing it or are you not doing it?
Mm-hmm.
At what point?
Right.
And then, you know what I'm saying? Because we can follow the money trail. We know the Koch brothers are behind the NRA as lobbyists are behind many of the elements of the stand your law legislation in all
yes,
of the states,
yes.
the voting rights issues. Come on, fellas. There's a point at which we need to stop and stand up and find some
yeah.
backbone.
Yeah.
It is not
no,
that
I
difficult.
Think you can count the number of congressmen on one hand, congresspersons. I'm thinking about Maxine Waters, and I'm thinking about Jesse Jackson Jr.
Mm-hmm.
before he became a non-congressman, that there are only a few of them who would take that stand. Because, you know, when you start talking about treason, there's a specific law and it says you have to do such and such and such. And to even have hearings, you have to get a certain number of congressmen to go along with your call for a hearing on any of this. I think there have to be some extra congressional activities on the part of the people. To draw attention to this.
However, we are talking about Michelle Bachmann, who stood on the well and said we can call for the impeachment of President Obama.
We don't have a Michelle Bachmann. We don't have somebody who has taken her on. That's what I'm saying. They don't have that kind of moxie to stand up to the Michelle Bachmanns. And even if they do, the kind of attention they would not get from the media would make their voice just very, very small. We have to develop this discussion and that kind of help. We have to develop that from within. Now, the other thing is, it would help if the president himself would call out some of these folks as scoundrels. But I haven't heard him say that.
But
I've heard him say this is bad, but I haven't heard him take the bully pulpit that he has to say, this is not just bad, this is disastrous.
Now, why?
You're going back
100
years. He hadn't said that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He hasn't, he hasn't designated, he hadn't called people out. He hadn't said, you're the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not his
style. That's what he's lacking on the Democratic side, a Democrat to the extreme left that's loud and just says stuff like that. Like, they have so many of their ones, you know, a lot of times, you know, they've mastered the art of making perception reality.
Yep.
You know? And just because they say it over and over again. And so a lot of those tactics are tactics that we need to, on the left, on the on the Democratic side, need to take those tactics and use them to our ability, obviously. And I think it has to be an approach that's more than just political, social, and economical. I mean, on the social realm and the cultural entertainment realm, we have artists that really provide a conscience or a backbeat to the soundtrack to a lot of these people's lives, young people's lives that they listen to on a consistent basis, you know. And once you kind of control the cultural perspectives and what people are listening to and how they're receiving the information, you can be a lot more effective. And I think that's where our strength is going to come because, you know, on a political standpoint, it's going to be extremely difficult to find the Michelle Bachmans and the people there. I mean, these are going to be even political individuals that aren't currently serving office, but just to be loud like that and bringing attention to those issues.
Yeah. Okay, we do have to take a break around now. So stay with us, Eric. Stay with us, Junior. Stay with us, Byron. We'll be right back. My name, Kay Thompson.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
You want to know the truth, folks? Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.goproradio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
Now,
leaders who stood up.
You know?
We're back.
And we are back. We are back. Kate Thompson live. Listen, we're going to start a real movement here. I want to start a movement here at Kate Thompson live because I'm tired of seeing people being so calm and so accepting, and things are happening there in Congress without us doing anything about it. And we've got to become more informed, more active, and more forceful about things.
Yeah.
Get angry, everyone.
If there ever was a time to hear about race coming from the White House,
it is now. Yes.
I think, you know, let me make it clear. I voted for the president. I love him. I think he's a wonderful guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to sound the alarm on some of these issues. And if there ever was an issue that needs alarms going off, it's
not
this one.
Now.
Because of the Voting Rights Act, he got elected.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
and
I
he has to say that on racial terms, not non-racial terms.
Yeah.
You can't be non-racial on this.
Mm-hmm.
This is about race.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
this is going to affect black people and brown people throughout America, not just the South, mostly in the South. But he has to be the one to tell the people to wake up. Now, if he won't tell the people to wake up, we're not going to get it from Congress. Hopefully it will come from the people. But he has the bully pulpit and can call a press conference and say, I am mad. Let's get it on.
I have a feeling that
it's about to happen.
Yeah.
And here's the reason why. All of the ancestors are speaking to us loud and clear now.
Mm-hmm.
This last trip that he and his family made to Africa is being downplayed so much. But when you step back on motherland, I don't care who you are, you are going to be affected by ancestors who are going... Father Africa is on deathbed.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping that he would get a surge of
energy. I believe he did get it, but he's got to come back now and show what he got because the ancestors were speaking to him while he was there. Make no mistake about it. This is something above and beyond
our comprehension. I'm waiting for that. He's got to come back strong.
That's right.
He's got to come back strong. That is so true. Boy, I'm telling you. Listen, Junius.
I hope so.
Yes, hope
Junius?
So.
Yes, I'm here.
You're going to come back again, right?
Yes, I'll be glad to. I like your show, Kay, and I appreciate your guest.
Yeah, okay. And my son, Eric, he'll be back in town within another day or so. And we're going to be
doing
a whole lot of, you know, very powerful stuff. He's a little more powerful than I am because he's considerably younger, of course. Thanks, Eric.
We miss you here on the East Coast.
Okay. Now, we're going to let them go, and you and I are going to be indigenous.
Sure.
You know? So,
sure.
Byron, thank you. You know, you're always doing that
welcome.
Historical. See, people don't know that about you. See, I discovered that about you.
Yes, you did.
You know?
I appreciate you bringing me on so we can share that perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
It helps us connect the dots.
But see, I get so angry,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's. I was angry early on when I started at WLIB. And I mean, you know, talking about some of these movements and the marching, I got blamed for a few things.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the heck out of it. So if, you know, we're going to get back on and you know, and go in that direction again, I'm prepared to do that on the air.
I am.
Okay.
Kay? Yes.
Oh, am I still on the air?
Yes, you are. And so is Eric. Go ahead.
I agree with you. I think it's time for us to move over into the column under the tent of people power. And I just want to say that I have finished writing a book called Unfinished Agenda, Urban Power in the Era of Black Power. I'm sorry, Urban Politics in the Era of Black Power. And we discuss all of that. That book will be out in on January the 14th, so people can go over to some of the ordering houses now and pre-order if they want to.
Yeah.
But that gives a prescription for how we must go forward.
How do they do that, Junius? Go over to what ordering?
Amazon. If you go to Amazon,
Unfinished
Agenda. If you put my name in Google or put the title of the book, I'm not that technologically oriented, but I think. If you put my name and Junius Williams and then put the title of the book, Unfinished Agenda, it'll come up and you can pre-order the book from Amazon.
Okay.
Well, all right.
Okay.
I'll be glad to come and talk about it some more.
Yeah, okay. How about week after next? Come and talk about the book primarily and then let us, you know, get another good conversation going.
And, of course, you'll be invited on my show as well so that we can continue this.
Yeah, sure.
Well, very good. Thank you.
We want you.
I'll be glad to do that.
Okay.
I am happy about this book.
Excellent. I love the title.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We have 3 minutes.
Thank you all.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. Yes.
Eric, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, well, we're getting ready to sign off right now, and we're going to be back next Wednesday, of course.
Yes, we'll be back with everybody next Wednesday at GoPro Radio Network.
That's right. Byron, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Always.
Thank you.
You know,
indeed.
Whenever you sit in, it's a lot of activity going on. Yeah, we're going to get busy with urging people. You have to call to arms. That's exactly what this is. We can't be playing around with this. When it talks about voting and all that sort of thing, and now there's, you know, a kid who's been killed.
Yes.
You know, by some murderer, you know, and then they're playing games with it, you know, down there in Florida. No. Everybody, you have to get excited about this. You know, you have to listen. You have to be informed. You have got to become political. You know, some people said, I'm not going to vote. Well, you know, if you don't vote, you get back in a situation that we had before. You know, you won't be able to vote. So this voting rights legislation is really very important. You've got to stay up with it, and we've got to take a stand. Okay?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So,
indeed.
Yeah.
Ready to go stand with you.
Yeah.
And stand in front of
That's
you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I remember when we first started at WLIB, you know, there was a lot of activism going on. Yeah. I remember the Fox Channel.
I grew up in D.C. and it was a day that I'll never forget.
I'll never forget it either. And but a month or a couple weeks after that, but you know, the Birmingham bombing, you know, with the young girl, you know, all that kind of, you know, stuff jarred. You know, you felt like off center, but one thing it did was make you angry. Okay, everyone, we thank you for listening. Join us again next week for Kay Thompson Live. I'm Kay Thompson Live. Thank you, Byron Soldier.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
God bless.
You too.